Lokastaro yano vibrajanta ete. Yanna vrajan jantushu yanna nugraha. Vrajanti brajrami chadanti yenisham. Yad brajamanam svaruchaiva sarvato. Lokastaro yanu vibrajanta ite. Yanna vrijan jantus yannanam nugraha. Vrijanti brajrani charanti yinnisham. Next. Translation. The self-effulgent Vaikuntham planets, by whose illumination alone all the illuminating planets within this material world give off reflected light, cannot be reached by those who are not merciful to other living entities. Only persons who constantly engage in welfare activities for other living entities can reach the Vaikuntha planets. Please repeat. The self-effulgent Vaikuntha planets. Much louder. By whose illumination alone all the illuminating planets within this material world give off reflected light. Cannot be reached by those who are not merciful to other living entities. Only persons who constantly engage in
welfare activities
for other living entities
and reach the Vaikuntha planets.
Every verse, every verse. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Here is a description of two aspects of Vaikuntha planets. The first is that in the Vaikuntha sky, there is no need of sun and the moon. This is confirmed by the Upanishads, otherwise the Bhagavad Gita. Natat basayate churyo na shashanko na ravaka. In the spiritual world, the Vaikuntha lokas are themselves illuminated. There is therefore no need of sun, moon, or electric light. It is in fact the illumination of the Vaikunthas, lokas, which is reflected in the material sky. Only by this reflection are the suns in the material universes illuminated. After the illumination of the sun, all the stars and moons are illuminated. In other words, all the luminaries in the material sky borrow illuminations from Vaikuntha Loka. This is all very heavy information. Very heavy information. This is real science here. From this material world, however, people can be transferred to the Vaikuntha Loka if incessantly, look at Prabhupada's language here. If they incessantly means constantly, engage in welfare activities for all, not some. If Prabhupada wanted to say some, he would say some. For all other living entities, that includes germs, birds, the worm and stool, not just human beings. All other living entities, otherwise Prabhupada said, be merciful to humans. No, he says, to all other living entities, because he's repeating the verse, says, for other living entities, only persons who constantly engage in welfare activities for other living entities. So mercy. Such incessant or non-stop welfare activities can really be performed only in Krishna consciousness. There's no philanthropic work. Of course, philanthropic means charity, mundane charity such as opening hospitals. I mean, we have a Krishna conscious hospital also, but not Bhaktivedanta Hospital. But you go into Bhaktivedanta Hospital, first thing you see is Srila Prabhupada in the lobby. You find Srila Prabhupada. He's sitting in the lobby of Bhaktivedanta Hospital, surrounded by a nice little garden environment. And instead of what in America is called music, elevator music or lift music playing, instead of that, it's Prabhupada singing on the loudspeakers. Wherever you walk in the hospital, Prabhupada is singing. And sometimes other bhajan, and sometimes lecture, mostly Prabhupada singing. Wherever you go, the speakers everywhere, every hallway, every room. You have a dial, you can change the dial. And you can listen to Prabhupada, or you can listen to other bhajans, you see? So the point is that, but without Krishna, it is of very negligible or very little value. So mundane charity. So that is philanthropic work, means that kind of mundane activity, without Krishna within this material world. But Krishna consciousness can engage a person 24 hours a day. A Krishna conscious being is always engaged in planning how to take all of suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. Even if one is not successful in reclaiming all of all the souls back to God, it's still, because he's Krishna conscious, his passage to Vaikuntha Loka is open. he personally becomes qualified to enter the Vaikuntha Lokas, and if anyone follows such a devotee, this is very important, you know. Prabhupada's use of language is very specific. We have to, the Shravana, perfection of life following in the footsteps of Maharaj Pariksit is Shravana. If we can perfect the Shravana, we perfect life. So these words are juicy, full of meaning. Just like Prabhupada was asked about Brahma Samhita. You know, I don't know. How many of you have read Brahma Samhita? Well, that's not too bad. But many of the problem is, even for those that are well-versed in the English language, Brahma Samhita is extremely erudite. Erudite means very, very high class, very, very complex language. Even if you're well-versed, even if you have a good education in English language, still, such a person is challenged. Now, I have a half-decent education in English language, but I will admit that I'm challenged in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's purports to Brahma Samhita are challenging. It strains the brain, even if you're highly educated. One day I foresee that there will have to be a version presented of Brahma Samhita that has simplified languages because, for example, I've been preaching in India for 8 years and, well, people can't understand the average English vocabulary, what to speak about the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's exquisite use of very, very high language. So Prabhupada was asked, why? Why did he use such big words? Srila Prabhupada replied, because he would only choose and he would only utilize the most perfect language. You see? So, that's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, we have to appreciate Prabhupada is doing the same thing, although he's using more digestible language. Others who engage in envious activities are known as karmis. Ooh, that's a slap, you know, that's a chop. Others who engage in envious activities are known as karmis. I mean, we use the word karmi like slang language, but here Prabhupada is using the word to mean those that are envious of Krishna, those that are envious of Vaishnavas, I'll call karmis, karmis, Prabhupada saying. Karmis are envious of one another. Yes, not only just envious of devotees, not only just envious of Vaishnavas, envious of the holy name, envious of Krishna, but they're envious of each other. Obviously, because there are constant wars. I mean, even in India, you know, India and Pakistan are fighting over a glacier. A glacier. I mean, I've seen the photographs of what they're fighting over way up in, the northern tip, way up in the Himalayas. The soldiers have to wear these suits this thick, you know, because it's an iceberg, you know. And then the men with guns on one side and the men with guns on the other side from Pakistan, they're fighting over an iceberg. What is the practical application of an iceberg? This is called ahamkara, false ego. Mine! No, mine! You know what this is, you know. I mean, in India, there's a lot of street dogs, you know. A lot of street dogs. I mean, so, at night, they patrol their territory. Intruder! Intruder! Get out! Get out! Get out! Intruder! Go away! Go away! So how is so-called human society? Duipadapashu! Two-legged animals. Is it any better? Certainly not. Unless you've got Krishna consciousness. Unless you hear from the devotees of the Lord, starting with the pure devotees of the Lord. For us, of course, means especially Srila Prabhupada and his representatives also who are repeating Srila Prabhupada. So, here Prabhupada is saying, karmis are envious of one another. This is obvious. They're fighting over it, even over an iceberg. You know, useless. It has no value except I and mine. Mine, mine. So simply for sense gratification, They can kill thousands of innocent animals. Unfortunately, in India, in Delhi, I've been preaching in Delhi for the past 8 years. In Delhi is the largest slaughterhouse in all of Asia. It's a great scandal, and the Indians do nothing about it. Even the so-called good Hindus, they do nothing about it. 15,000 animals per day are slaughtered in Delhi, in the Asia's largest slaughterhouse. And all the Hindus just remain silent. And these days it's a fashion now to go to McDonald's. So this is hellish. Hellish. This is hell, actually. And extremely dangerous. The only reason that Krishna hasn't blown Delhi off the map is because there are devotees. And Jay Jagannath. It's not for me. I'm not asking for applause for my sake. It's the concept. The Prabhu Chandra, I'm trying to understand, is a third entity. There's me, the speaker, then there's a message of Krishna at Prabhupada as a second entity, then there's a Shastra, third, and this way it's multidimensional. Try to understand. Shastra is multidimensional. Bhagavatam class is multi, it's not linear. If you want to make it linear, you'll become bored with Krishna consciousness. Multidimensional. In other words, the speaker gets to hear also. Why? Because the message of Krishna is the incarnation of Krishna. You understand? If you're talking about devotees, if you're talking about devotional service, that pravachar, that message, that is incarnation. That is Krishna in sound by preached. Just as Shukadeva Goswami was speaking, and that is Kirtanam, Mahesh Pariksit was hearing, Shravanam. Okay, we're not on the level of Shikandu Goswami. It still is Sabda Brahm. How many of you know the meaning? Sabda Brahm. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what's coming, huh? I respectfully submit. If you don't know what is Sabda Brahm, you're not reading in Prabhupada's books. You've got to read Srila Prabhupada's books if you want to advance in Krishna consciousness. We say paradukaduki here. This whole purport is about compassion. The verse is about compassion. But to become compassionate, we have to become, first of all, we have to become purified. Our biggest homework task, is it not? Anybody disagree? Our biggest homework task, like school children have homework they have to do. Yes? Our biggest task is to become purified. Chetu dapadamanjanam bahavadivarpadam. Our hearts are very unclean. So to become purified, how are we going to become purified? We have to become purified by contact with Srila Prabhupada's books, which means direct contact with Prabhupada. Don't think that contact with Srila Prabhupada's books is indirect. No! Contact with Srila Prabhupada's books means direct contact with Prabhupada. So I respectfully, and would say, offering my dandavat pranams to all of you exalted devotees. Anyone who chants the holy name is exalted. Anyone! Just like when Mahaprabhu went to, there's one village in South India, and every time he went touring South India, he would inquire from this one, they would have only one question, who is a Vaishnava? Kalinigram? Yes, Kalinigram, name of the village. They would ask, who is a Vaishnava? So Mahaprabhu would say, whoever chants Hare Krishna, they are a Vaishnava. You know, so very, that is one. He gave three different answers. Yay. So, here we are, an assembly of exalted devotees. We should take the dust of the feet of all the devotees present here, put on our heads. Because one who chants the holy name of the Lord within Guru Parampara, under the direction of Srila Prabhupada's line of disciples of succession, such persons are very Mahatma, actually great souls. So I'll continue. This animal slaughter, this is very serious. Prabhupada is only mentioning it in passing here, but many times in Srimad Guru, Prabhupada is roaring against animal slaughter. Jnanis are not as sinful as Kamis, but they do not try to reclaim others back to Godhead. In other words, we say in America, cerebral. Cerebral means the front lobe of the brain, you know, intellectualism, you know. Jnanis are intellectuals, they just want word jugglery. I think, in my opinion, perhaps, maybe, isn't it? And they call it science. This is what they say. Perhaps, maybe, in my opinion, who are you? Who are you? Who cares for your opinion? You're born. You're going to grow old. You're going to die with your opinion also. And then after you're dead, your opinion will be changed by others. Certainly, yes. I make this challenge to those who believe in the modern scientific paradigm. I make this challenge. In America, there's a book, a famous periodical called Scientific American. How many of you heard of this? It's one of the world's most famous, most prestigious scientific magazines. And all the latest stuff, all the hot stuff, all the latest theories, all the latest speculations, all these things are published in Scientific America. And if you could get published in Scientific America, wow, I mean, you're really in. You know, you're going to get really big, big protista. Protista means position out of that. Maybe you'll get hired in some university if you can publish in Scientific America. But my challenge is very simple. Please pick up a 40-year-old copy of Scientific America. Check what it says. Check what it says against what they say now. Oh, well, we don't believe that anymore. Well, we have found out. Well, we have discovered, really. That means what you were marketing before is hot knowledge, top of the line knowledge, with nothing but avidya, ignorance. So, 40 years old, and already it's dead, just like you will be dead one day also. And what is the use? Then it's not knowledge. Because the word knowledge, actually, science, the word science, it comes from a Latin word. The root of the word, English word science, is the Latin word scio, S-C-I-O. You know what it means? Scio. Anybody else know what it means? You know what it means? Scio. Well, that's sort of a loaded question, but anyways. Scio. Scio is Latin, it means to know, isn't it? To know. He doesn't say to guess. He doesn't say to speculate. He doesn't say, in my opinion, perhaps, maybe, or we think, or I think. You think that's the problem. Mental platform. Manuvratena. Manuratena means the chariot of the mind. Huh? Everybody's riding the chariot of the mind, like in the West, they have roller coasters, you know. Sometimes they're imitating these days, and even in India, roller coasters, you get on, and you're very successful, you can vomit, you know. And they're riding, and everybody screams, hello? You go to these theme parks, they're screaming. They're all screaming, you know, saying, I mean, this is pleasure, excuse me. Everybody's screaming. So, that is like this mind, mana retina. Chariot, or you can say roller coaster if you like, you know. So, this is gyanis. These are gyanis are just following the chariot of the mind or the useless mental speculations. So, gyanis are not as sinful as karmis, but they do not try to reclaim others back to Godhead. They perform austerities for their own liberation. Yogis are also engaged in self-aggrandizement by trying to attain mystic powers. In other words, the yogis, they want to become very powerful cities, they want to get powers. Sometimes these days, there might be a modern charlatan who presents himself as God. He might have some mystic powers, but that does not make you God. You go to Kumbhapena, there's some yogis there, but we're not impressed. But devotees, Vaishnavas, or servants of the Lord, come forward in the actual field of work in Krishna consciousness to reclaim fallen souls. Only Krishna conscious persons are eligible to enter into the spiritual world. That is clearly stated in this verse and is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, wherein the Lord says that there is no one dearer to him than those who preach the gospel of Bhagavad Gita to the world. So let's say the invocation before we go any further. Everyone, please. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. Come on, loudly. Vishnu Padaya. Vishnu Prasthaya Bhutale. Shimate Bhaktivi Dhanda Shramani Dinamane. Namaste Sarvati Deve Gaurabhani. So, the first point Prabhupada is making, or the verse is making, self-effulgent by Vaikuntha planets. There is no illumination by sun or moon or electricity. Once I was in one of these New Age bookshops in Los Angeles, you know, where they have different versions so of different, you know, translations of Sanskrit literatures and so forth for those that are shopping for something spiritual but don't know what they're doing. So I saw one version of Bhagavad Gita written by a so-called scholar. He was furious that Prabhupada wrote, not illuminated, the planets are not illuminated by electricity. He was furious. He was blaspheming Prabhupada specifically. What is this? That Swami Maharaj Bhaktivedanta, by name he mentioned him, saying, what is this nonsense? Electricity. As if there was no electricity 5,000 years ago. But was there electricity 5,000 years ago? How many of you know the answer? There was electricity 5,000 years ago? Yes, there was. Now, the next question is, where do we have a discussion in Prabhupada's books, readily available, about electricity 5,000 years ago? Where anybody know? Let's see. Yes, Prabhu. In Krishna book. Right. Come on. Give some enthusiasm. That is the correct answer. In Krishna book. Which story, Prabhu? Dwarka? Dwarka was well fortified, but I believe it was one of the demons. Having a fort fortified with a moat. Moat means a ditch full of water around it. An electric fence is specifically mentioned there. Electric fence. Unless you want to be a blasphemer If you want to be a charlatan, arrest and say, that's Swami Maharaj. He didn't translate it properly. Okay, fine. You can say like that, but you can also, there's lower planets available too. You know. So anyways, the thing is that fortified electricity and then another layer of poison gases and some maybe barbed wire. I think some of the many things are mentioned, so much fortification, so much defense he had around, that was defense against human beings. It didn't do any good. I think it was Krishna's chakra that just wiped it out, you know. It wasn't any good against the force of Krishna. But in a purport, Prabhupada writes an amusing comment. He says, even by modern security standards, it was well fortified. Even by the best of modern technology, this fort was well fortified. By modern standards of technology, they have got these kind of technologies of poison gases and, you know, barriers you can't go through. But Prabhupada's commenting, this was, technology was there. So much for primitive culture, so much for primitive India. This was in India. So, anyways, the Vaikuntha planets are not illuminated by electricity or sun or moon. So this demoniac professor couldn't stomach that Prabhupada wrote, not illuminated by electricity. He couldn't handle it, couldn't take it, because there wasn't supposed to be. But he's such a Buddha, such an ass. There wasn't supposed to be electricity 5,000 years ago, but there was. And these principles are going on since time immemorial. Now the next interesting point is that these planets are giving off reflected light within the material world. It's just a reflection. So the real light is coming from Vaikuntha. The real light is the effulgence coming from Vaikuntha and is reflected in the planets. And just as the light of the sun and is reflected in stars, Prabhupada writes, after the illumination of the sun, all the stars and moons are illuminated. In other words, all the luminaries in the material sky borrow illumination from Vaikuntha. This is amazing. They borrow illumination from Vaikuntha. So in the Bhagavad Gita we also see, Krishna says that I am the light in all luminous things, which includes the Vaikuntha planets, includes the material planets, includes the sun, the moon, it even includes the headlights on your automobile. Yes? Does everybody agree? Yes, no? If it shines, Krishna says, that's me. Yes. He is that light, that is. So, in order to get to Vaikuntha, though, the verse is saying, only persons who constantly engage in welfare activities can reach the Vaikuntha planets. So we have to reach some understanding about what it means to reach to Vaikuntha. First of all, you can perform austerities and penances, you can go, but in Vaikuntha and also Braj, you must have the invitation actually of a devotee. You must render service to a devotee. And that devotee must have a link through disciplic succession, a link to that effulgent realm, to the spiritual world. Otherwise, you can't get there. So, we have to try to understand, if we want to understand what is our link. Our link we also have got, disciplic succession. And if we want to understand, actually Bhaktisiddhanta, Prabhupada used to refer to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur as a Vaikuntha man. Vaikuntha man. But of course that means that he was not from the, he was not from the material world. He was not actually from Vaikuntha planet, he was not a devotee of Lord Vishnu. Actually, the confidential identity of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, how many of you know? Confidential identity of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Yes, you're knowing? He is a Manjari. I don't recall the name exactly, but his name is known. He's a Manjari. Manjari means the maidservants of Radharani, who are primarily maidservants of Radharani, more so than servants of Krishna. They are serving Radharani. They are fully absorbed in service to Radharani. The chief of those Manjaris is Sri Rupa Manjari. Yes. She is in charge of all the Manjaris. And her best friend is Rati Manjari. Rati Manjari is Sanatana Goswami. Rupa Manjari descends as Rupa Goswami. So, I know this is broadcast internationally through the internet. Sometimes my friends in the United States have emailed me feedback on the class given in Mayapur, so I know it goes all over the world by internet, you know. And incidentally, my name, Bhakti Madhuri Govinda Goswami, was formerly, for those who are out in internet land, I was formerly known as Makamal Das, disciple of Prabhupada since 1968. Anyways, so we are followers of Rupa Goswami. So as far as the people in the West is concerned, we could say, these days, you know, the ladies are very concerned about ladies' movement in the West. And they may sometimes challenge, well, what about you, Hare Krishnas? What's the role of Hare Krishnas? What is the role of women in the Hare Krishna movement, they might say, in the West? Not so much in India or Asia, but in the West, they may say, in a challenging way, what is the role of women in the Hare Krishna movement? So we could say, oh, they run the Hare Krishna movement. How many of you agree? Well, they do. Who owns and operates all the devotees? Let me see a show of hands. Who owns and operates all the devotees? Huh? Shivata Radharani. Yes. Shivata Radharani is male, is she? She owns all the devotees. All of them. The devotees in Vaikuntha, she owns also. Vaikuntha is managed through the goddess of fortune, her expansion. So, within the material world, she's got this vast jurisdiction. But the devotees are under her care. Why? Because she's Ladini Shakti. She is the internal potency. There's no such thing as devotional services outside of her jurisdiction. She's the original devotee and she's the best devotee. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended just to try to understand the mood of Srimati Radharani. So you can say this, then most of our, Prabhupada makes it clear, most of our acharyas are manjaris. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is manjari, Sai Goswami is manjaris. You understand? Why I won't dare to say that the movement is actually run by the ladies' sector. Radharani and her manjaris, they're running this movement. But they appear for external reasons. They appear in male bodies as acharyas in the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Purely external. But Mahaprabhu was, of course, Radharani herself. So he wanted to experience, Krishna wanted to experience the mood of Radharani. So we should try to understand, not only Vaikuntha, but In the time we have remaining, only a few minutes remaining, we should try to appreciate, try to understand what it is, the position of Srila Prabhupada. That he is also Mahajan. We know about the 12 Mahajans, Janaka, Bhishma, Prahlad, Bali Maharaj, so many, the 12 prominent Mahajans, prominent. We have to understand, Prabhupada writes, actually there are many more Mahajans, not just those 12. There are many more Mahajans. So I've pulled a few quotes here about what is Mahajan. I just want to emphasize, I'm telling this because Prabhupada is also Mahajan. This we have to understand. Mahajan, or authority, Prabhupada equivocates. He says a Mahajan is an authority, spiritual authority. On the level of Brahma, Narada, Shiva, that was speaking of Vidura, although he was a human being. Qualification on par with the great demigods is possible only on attainment of spiritual perfection. Was Srila Prabhupada on the platform of spiritual perfection? How many of you agree? Some of you don't agree? I don't see 100% of the hands. Anybody disagree? Attainment of the platform of spiritual perfection, that means Mahajan. Bhishma Dev was known all over the universes. Prabhupada is also known all over the universes. Otherwise, why would we say, Ebi Asa Gosik Tri Bhuvana. What is this? Nursery rhyme? Tribhuvana! Tribhuvana! Need to know what you're singing! Ebi Asa Gosik Tri Bhuvana. Tree, like tripod. Three! Bhur Bhuvasva, upper, middle, lower planetary system. Every day, all over the world, we are singing. But you should also meditate on the meaning. That Srila Prabhupada is known all over the three worlds. Bhur Bhuvasva. Come on, give us some enthusiasm. The applause is not for me, the applause is for Prabhupada, because it's a truth, it's a fact. You know, if you tell a lie in front of deities, you can go to hell, you know. So you have to be very careful what you say in front of the Vaishnavas, and you have to be careful what you say in front of deities. But if you tell someone a lie, it's very dangerous to tell a lie. In the old days, when there was some dispute, let's say a business dispute, and one business partner suspects the other business partner is lying, or some customer, or he feels he's cheated. In the old days, they used to say, all right, let's go in front of the deities. Then you tell me the same thing. It used to be, no. If you tell a lie in front of the deity, you go to hell. So I'm declaring that Srila Prabhupada is Tri Bhuvana. He has upper, middle, lower planetary system. He is known. If you think I'm exaggerating, please consider Prabhupada has written, I believe it's the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that this Krishna consciousness movement will spread, you remember? Krishna consciousness movement will spread all over the universe! This Krishna consciousness, the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's no time left really to elaborate on that, but Prabhupada makes this statement. There's not just only this earth planet. And who gets the credit? It's Prabhupada that gets the credit for that. Srila Prabhupada gets the credit for that. Srila Prabhupada ki jai! He's known Bhur Bhuvasva. Just like Bali Maharaj is known, just like Bhishma Dev is known, upper, middle, lower planetary systems. Again, Prabhupada is pointing out that Yamaraj who appeared as Vidura. So on the level with such exalted personalities as Brahma, Narada, Shiva, Kapila, Bhishma, Prahlad, and so forth. Then he says, being a Mahajan, what does a Mahajan is the duty of Yamaraj to preach the cult of devotion to the people of the world as Narada, Brahma and other Mahajans do. Narada, Brahma and other Mahajans do. Was Srila Prabhupada preaching all over the world? Was he not only just this world but all three worlds? He was preaching, still is preaching. That's why we distribute his books. So this Mahajan, we have to understand. So spiritual knowledge will reveal within the core of a devotee's heart because of taking shelter of the lotus feet of a Mahajan, such as Prahlad Maharaj. So we're all in Prabhupada's line. We're in Srila Prabhupada's line. His founder, Acharya Bhakti True Swami, gave a seminar here in Mayapur a few years back, which I attended, on Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya. The meaning and significance of founder Acharya. Special heavyweight category. And I had personal experience in that regards. I inherited a small temple and I became president in 1972, a small temple in Midwestern United States, St. Louis, Missouri, USA, Central United States, Midwest. And I had noticed. So I used to, first letter I wrote to Prabhupada was to set off some recommendations for initiations, because the temple presidents used to send to Prabhupada the recommendations for initiation. So I set off a letter with recommendations for initiation. And a response came back, chastisement. I have received your letter. I have noted. If Prabhupada notes something, you better be ready for it. Your letterhead does not say, Founder Acharya. I hadn't noticed. Letterhead. See, I inherited. I didn't print the letterhead. I inherited the letterhead from the previous temple president. I hadn't noticed it didn't say Founder Acharya. I didn't even notice. Prabhupada noticed big time. Your letterhead does not say, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Founder Acharya. Correct that immediately. You know, okay, so having received a direct order from Prabhupada, I immediately had the letterhead reprinted, immediately, you know. But I'll be honest with you, I'll be very, very honest with you. At the time, I couldn't understand. I'll just be straightforward. I won't cheat and lie. My mentality at the time was, why is Prabhupada making such a big deal about Founder Acharya? I couldn't understand. So, we know he's the founder of ISKCON, okay, fine, but why is he making such a big deal about it? You see, quietly, I said to myself, in other words, I was silently offensive, you know, but I didn't say anything and I didn't write anything, I kept my mouth shut. You know, I'm just confessing to you that I was silently a little offensive by wondering, what's the big deal? But now, after Prabhupada's departure, we find out, it's huge! It's massive! Founder Acharya is different. Bhakti True Swami is a great authority on the subject. He's a scholar on the subject. Of the position of Founder Acharya is distinctly different from other gurus. Not the same. I only want to conclude by saying there are different levels of gurus or spiritual master. As Rajendra Nandana Prabhu was speaking about the importance of spiritual master yesterday. And of course this is clear throughout the Shastra, the importance of spiritual master. We also need to know there are different levels of spiritual masters, different levels. The Mahabhagavat or the Nityasiddha. Nityasiddha means who's eternally liberated, who never came from this material world. Sadhana Siddha means who worked their way up through Sadhana Bhakti and became pure devotee. There's no time to elaborate all these things, but pure devotee doesn't only mean Mahabhagavat or Nityasiddha. Pure devotee does not only mean fully self-realized, means who follows Acharya carefully. Such a person can be called pure devotee. In 1969, that's a long time ago, Los Angeles, California, during Bhagavad Gita class, question and answer period, someone asked, he wasn't called Prabhupada. Swamiji, how many pure devotees are there on the planet? That's an important question, huh? Prabhupada turned to Tamakrishna Goswami. How many disciples we have gotten? Well, yeah, but 1969, 6 months ago, smoking pot, marijuana. You know, 6 months ago, like, illicit sex, drinking liquor, all these things. But no. He asked Tamakrishna, how many disciples we have got? You know, that kind of credit he's giving. But that is the bottom, the broad scale of pure devotee, who follows Acharya. And at the top of that, at the top of that pyramid-shaped definition is pure devotee means self-realized soul. Both. You understand? You follow? Yes, no? Maybe? Sort of? It's a big word. The point is, pure devotee is a big word. Who follows Acharya carefully and properly, who's chanting 16 rounds, who rises early in the morning, who's hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, who's reading in Prabhupada's books, who's preaching, who's doing all the deity worship, who's doing all these things, who comes to Bhagavatam class, right? Such person can be called a pure devotee. But, that is the broad definition. Prabhupada didn't mean that all his disciples were Mahabhagavat. That's not what he meant. Not at all. That wasn't the meaning of his statement. But if you follow, then he was giving that much credit. That a pure devotee means who follows. Brahma Buddha Prasanatma Nasochiti Nakachiti. The Brahma Buddha platform, the transcendental platform, the spiritual platform. The only way we can get to the spiritual platform is by following Acharya. Whether one is directly initiated by Prabhupada or is linked to disciples of Krishna, that's fine. The link is there. Just like if somebody's drowning in a swift river and there's a chain of people that can reach out and catch that drowning person. And you may not be highly qualified as a lifesaver, but if you're in the link of persons and somebody can reach out and grab that person who's drowning and can pull them in, you understand? That's called disciple succession. Whoever is representing Srila Prabhupada is also in that bona fide line. Who is following? That is the point. I have many other quotes I was going to read, but we're out of time. The Prabhupada says, who can become a spiritual master? Who knows the science of Krishna? Who is following? The most important point of all is who is following Acharya. That person can become a spiritual master who is following Acharya carefully, not deviating from Guru Parampara. They also can become Guru. That is Prabhupada's statement. But there are different kinds of Guru. Pandacharya is special. Nitya Siddha, Prabhupada descended from the spiritual world, from Goloka Vrindavan. That kind of devotee, that is Sudarabhava, most rare. Prabhupada told more than one disciple. He told Bhavananda and somebody else, you know about that. I was in the spiritual world with Krishna. Krishna asked me, I want you to go to the material world. I said, Prabhupada said, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. And Krishna replied, but you must go because I want you to write these books. So Prabhupada is an eternal resident Maharaj. I'll give you another example. Nectar Devotion. How many of you have read Nectar Devotion? We'll conclude shortly. How many of you have read Nectar Devotion? Okay, well, that's not too bad. It's still only about 50%. So, the other 50%, please read Nectar Devotion. Nectar Devotion says that you should meditate on an inhabitant of Braj. Yes? It says, you should meditate on an inhabitant, a resident of Vrindavan, you should meditate on. So, one dizzy-headed young lady, disciple, asked, see the problem? It says in the Nectar Devotion, that we should meditate on an inhabitant, a resident of Vrindavan. But, you know, I like Nanda Maharaj, but again, there's the gopis and, you know, coward boys. And so I can't quite, I'm not clear who I should meditate on, you know.
Then like thunder and lightning, far surpassing the thunder and lightning of Indra. Prabhupada said, I am the resident of Vrindavan. Ki jai, Shirupada ki jai. Shirupada ki jai. Nitya siddha mahabhagat Shirupada ki jai. Nago premanandi hari hari ma. Thank you very much. Anybody have any questions? Yes, Prabhu. Where's that mic? Speak loudly because I'm actually hard of hearing. I might need a relay person. Rajananda, can you be the relay person? He's like, Rajananda, Nandana, please be the relay person in case I can't hear what they say because I'm actually hard of hearing.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much for
giving. Louder, please.
Thank you very much for a nice class you are giving. My question is, if you can
put the mic to your mouth.
If you can become a spiritual master, even though you follow strictly, except you don't follow the institution, or you are not becoming institutional, can you become a Buddha?
Mike, into the mic.
Can you be a spiritual master if you do not strictly follow the institution?
Spiritual master?
If you do not follow the institution.
Yes, God.
The institution.
If you do not follow, what you going to do? Become your own guru?
Yes.
What is your qualification?
Well, yes, I am a Chira Prabhupada disciple, so I just follow everything.
You're a Prabhupada disciple?
No, a sample. I just give you a sample. But still, I don't agree.
Bhagavad Gita says, Tadvili Prabhupada Prabhupada Sivari Ubrijanti Deyanam, getting stuck with Darshanam. You have to approach a bona fide spiritual, you have to acquire submissively. Now, even reading Prabhupada's book, still some Sarasuga Sangha is required. I'll give an example. Vibhava Prabhu, he's now initiating spiritual master in ISKCON, he's disciple of Prabhupada. He has many jurisdictions, GBC for South America and so forth. He has said that before he came in contact with devotees, he was actually reading the Prabhupada's books, you know. And they had sort of a club, they developed sort of a sangha, or sort of a group of admirers of Krishna consciousness who were reading the Prabhupada's books. And he admits that even though they are reading in Prabhupada's books, that they've made all kinds of false conclusions and philosophical mistakes. He admits that they had a nice club, of devotees, you know, but they said they were making, he admits they were making all kinds of philosophical errors. Why? Because they didn't have the guidance, you know. Guru means guidance, actually. Either directly or through representatives, you know. Directly or through representatives. I'm using Virbahu's own statements, for example, because one cannot just read, become a self-appointed guru. No, you can't find that. And everyone has got guru throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam. You won't find any instance of any acharya, even when Krishna appears, Krishna Balaram, they have got guru. Huh? Yes? Even Krishna Balaram, they are God, but they're taking Swami Swami Muni as guru. Everyone is taking guru, you see. Ladies, you can't become self-appointed guru. It is not possible. Yes?
There's one purport in Srimad Bhagavatam.
No.
There's one purport in Srimad Bhagavatam where Srila Prabhupada says, if you think you can be Krishna conscious outside of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, that's an hallucination.
Hallucination.
What he says.
Yes, yeah. So we have to be very careful. Yes?
Right. Regarding this last statement about being Krishna conscious outside of the institution, Srila Prabhupada said that the incorporation of ISKCON, this is a statement by Achyutananda Prabhu who was present at the time, that if the institution proves to be worthless, we renounce the institution and continue chanting Hare Krishna.
You're the institution, one thing about the institution, Prabhupada said, ISKCON is my body. ISKCON. ISKCON is an institution, but Prabhupada said it's my body. So there's no difference between the institution of ISKCON and Prabhupada's body. Now, sometimes there may be pimples on the body. You know, sometimes there may be some problem with the body, just like I've got some laryngitis now, you know. There may be problems in the body, but we cannot throw out Prabhupada's statement, ISKCON is my body. So we have to, we have to see the institution, by participating institution, that we are participating in Srila Prabhupada, you see. This is required, actually, if we want Prabhupada's version. There are other exalted Vaishnavas outside of ISKCON, that's all right. But there are also differences. You know, there are different ways of doing things in some of the institutions. The Tulsi Puja Mantra is different. The Mangalati prayers are different. So many things are different. So as far as Siksha and Diksha is concerned, we are supposed to be Prabhupada Nugas. We are supposed to stay within Prabhupada's line if we want to get the full benefit from Srila Prabhupada's teachings. Yes.
Regarding getting the credit for the spreading of Krishna consciousness all over the universe, is there anyone who should get more credit than Srila Prabhupada for this? What is your opinion?
Others will get credit for spreading throughout the universe.
But should someone get more credit?
No, others will get credit. But those that are honest will accept that Srila Prabhupada is the foremost pioneer. I'll give you an example. Let me give you an example. There is Prabhupada's godmother, Srila Maharaj, and then Srila Maharaj's chosen successor, Govinda Maharaj, and he used to openly give full credit to Prabhupada in his lectures, and he used to say, he didn't call him Prabhupada, he called him Swami Maharaj. He broke open a hole in the Nirvisesha Shunyavadi. He broke open, and I'm just going through, I'm just taking the remnants, so that honesty is there. Others will get credit. We're not misers. Others will get credit. But where will the lion's share go? The lion's share. Who pioneered? Who had the guts? Who came to the West when others feared they would fall down if they crossed the ocean? Because that statement is there in the scripture, that if you cross the ocean, you'll fall down. And even so many Vaishnavs, they fear that statement from the scripture, you know. Anyways, the point is, yes, they'll get credit in the wake of Srila Prabhupada. You understand?
Yeah.
We're not misers.
I appreciate your sentiment, but what you say is wrong, because it contradicts the statement of Krishna Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where he says that after the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, some of the branches, for unfortunate reasons, deviated from his path. Some branches did not accept the original trunk that vitalized and maintained the entire tree.
Some of the branches, Advaita Acharya, for example, had a son, and one of his sons went bad, so to speak. And so there were some branches coming after Mahaprabhu that deviated. But others we see continue properly within Parampara.
Well, that verse indicates that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is maintaining and vitalizing the entire tree, so he should get the most credit.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should get the full credit? You won't find anywhere in the Shastra.
I'm just saying Chaitanya Charitamrita, that version, just quoted.
No. You won't find where Acharya is not given the credit. You won't find where Acharya is not given credit by Krishna and by Mahaprabhu. You won't find the credit going only to the Supreme Person of Godhead.
No, I'm not saying it. I'm only saying, according
to Krishna prefers to give the credit. For example, Krishna says, I think it's the Shiva Purana, I could be mistaken, Krishna says, those who say they are my devotees, they're not my devotees. But those who are the devotees of my devotees, they're the real devotees. That's Krishna's statement. Yes, Prabhu.
Maharaj, when you made the statement in class that the credit goes to Srila Prabhupada for the spreading of Krishna consciousness all over the universe?
Yes, it's also in the Chaitanya Mangala.
The thought comes to mind, Narada Muni is also preaching throughout the universe Krishna consciousness.
That's okay. That's great.
Or disciples of Bhakti.
Okay, now it's interesting you mentioned that, because in the Chaitanya Mangala by Lochan Das Thakur, there's a conversation between Narada and Krishna. In that conversation between Narada and Krishna, Narada goes to Krishna in complete anxiety. He says, the Kali Yuga, hopeless situation, total darkness. What's going to happen? What's going to happen in this Kali Yuga? They have no chance. They're lost. They're doomed. What to do? Krishna says, don't worry. I'm going to send my general. I'm going to send my general, who will spread my holy name to foreign countries. Prabhupada was the first to do that. Others, yes, that's right. Narada is eternal space friend. I'm not trying to say there's competition between Narada Muni and Prabhupada. There's no competition. Prabhupada offers full Dhanabhat Pranams to all the prior and existing acharyas. And Narada Muni is eternal space friend. He's still alive. Prabhupada is not competition. That is not the point. We are all under the Muni, certainly.
Thank you. As Srila Prabhupada said in the question and answer part of Bhagavatam, it's like Istagosi discussing the points threadbare.
Yes.
So another example for your consideration, leading disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur say that he went to the moon planet to spread Krishna consciousness. One time on a morning walk in this road out here, he looked up at the moon. He said, just see, even Kali Yuga is spreading on the moon planet. And the disciples on the morning walk, their understanding was he was saying he wanted to go preach Krishna consciousness there. If that is true, then the statement that Prabhupada gets credit for spreading Krishna consciousness everywhere in the universe, although the mood is wonderful in glorifying the spiritual master, but whether or not Srila Prabhupada gets the credit for spreading Krishna consciousness everywhere in the universe, that's something to be discussed.
Well, the thing is that he's also Tribhuvana. Abhyas Gusti Tribhuvana. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also. Many of them are lying. But the thing is, Prabhupada speaks in the future tense in a particular purport. He speaks in the future. This Krishna consciousness movement will spread all over the universe, means in future tense, in future. So, he is, but once again, there's not a competition between Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Prabhupada gave all credit to Bhaktisiddhanta. He said, I am simply the humble servant of my Guru Maharaj, that's all, nothing more. So, it's not some competition going on, but, the credit goes, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave full empowerment to Srila Prabhupada to complete on this work, and future generations in our line, and other Gaudiya Vaishnavas also completing on this work. It's a vast work. But he said, will spread. He didn't say, has already spread. Will spread. And about this Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur preaching on the moon, then I can't say, If the disciples say that is one thing, but I have not heard before,
But
it's certainly famous in the three worlds.
Now regarding the speaking to the moon...
Particular etiquette in the Bhagavatam.
Yeah, that's all right. Anyone else? There was somebody else. Because we have to go ahead.
Just want to have a small comment. regarding the Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj preaching to the, on the moon planet, this is how can this be harmonized with the statement of more or less the last disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Jatisekhar Prabhu. He states, this is written in the three-part volume of Bhakti Vikasana, is that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj said that he will come back and he will preach in Vrindavan in South India, install footprints of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and reclaim his last remaining disciples on the planet. So, in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, we take a direct meaning of the words, which is exemplified by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his discussion with Prakasananda Saraswati. So the direct meaning is that he will reclaim those disciples whom he initiated during his manifest pastime in the previous century. That means he should be appearing around this time. So I'm just saying this because this contradicts the statement of other disciples who say that he preaches on the moon planet. Unless you can be in two places at the same time.
The short version of his comment, please.
He's giving a quote.
Yes.
That's saying Bhakti Siddhanta will come to reclaim fallen disciples. Fallen disciples?
No, it's
lost. Lost disciples. He's quoting Bhakti Siddhanta.
Bhakti Vikasana wrote a three-part poem on Bhakti Siddhanta.
Who said
it?
He's quoting a disciple of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur who said, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said, that he would come to reclaim his lost disciples.
That's all right. We don't have a problem with that statement. That doesn't mean that Prabhupada's a reincarnation of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you know. That's standard procedure. The guru, when he initiates, may have to come back again. Prabhupada said to his disciples, don't make me come back again. Don't make me come back again. Don't, specifically in regards to Vilamangal Thakur, he said, don't maybe become like that, because Vilamangal Thakur had to be preached to by a prostitute who was representing Guru. So don't make me become like a prophet. So this is required. Yeah, we don't want to put that kind of burden on the Guru that he's forced to come back again. Anyways, we have to complete. We're out of time. If you want to discuss privately, we can do. All right, thank you very much. Jagadguru Srirupada Ki Jai, Jagadguru Srirupada Ki Jai. Thank you.